Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. Coal runs thick in the blood of many, if not most, West Virginians. Kathy Matea is one of them. She grew up in West Virginia coal country before heading off to Nashville and a long and successful career as a country singer. Her recordings have been number one on the Billboard country music charts time after time, and it's hard to turn on a country radio station without hearing such hits as Love at the Five and Dime and 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses. Now, in her most recent work, country music star Kathy Matea is turning her attention back to her roots, acoustic music and coal country. Her latest recording project explores the heritage of her home state and of her own family in coal mining. Kathy Matea and her guitar join us now from Nashville. Welcome to Living on Earth.
How you doing?
Now, you've recorded a number of songs that explore the heritage of coal mining. What was your family's relation to coal mining, your dad's relationship?
Well, both my grandfathers were coal miners. My dad was the only son. There were six kids in his family, and he was the only boy. And because my uncle gave him the money to go to school, go to college, he didn't have to go into the mines. But that was sort of everybody's, you know, everybody in his town, that was what you did. And my mom grew up in a family with six sisters, and my grandfather on her side was a coal miner as well. And you know, just lots of family stories, lots of family lore, uncles who were in the mines.
Now, in addition to the effects of mining coal and living with coal itself, I understand you've also been thinking a lot about the effects of burning coal, specifically its contribution to global warming. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey this last year. In January of 2006, I went to see former Vice President Gore give his PowerPoint presentation over at Vanderbilt University. And I didn't sleep for two nights after that. I mean, I was just haunted by a lot of what I had seen. And the evidence seemed so compelling and so overwhelming. And learned to give the slideshow and have been doing it in various settings over the last few months. And it's interesting. I began to sleep again once I started really taking action. That was the thing that I got to learn along the way is, you know, I feel helpless until I begin to be part of the solution. And we are each a very important part of this solution.
Half of the electricity in this country does come from coal thereabouts, so maybe it's a 50-50 chance that it came from coal. But since you're in Nashville and I'm in Somerville, Massachusetts, probably one of these studios was fired by coal.
Yeah. It's something that people don't think about. And here's the other part of it. The big seams of coal in West Virginia and a lot of Kentucky have all been mined. So what's left are real thin seams. And that means strip mining. Strip mining is rampant right now. And it's raping the countryside. What if you knew that every time you flip on your light switch, a mountaintop in West Virginia just blows up? It's crazy. In these rural areas, a lot of times that is the best way to make money if you are unskilled labor, if you don't have a college degree. And so, you know, you don't have a lot of power if you want to stay on the piece of land where your families live for generations. It's just a lot to it.
So when you decided to do something about coal, what was the first song that you decided to perform?
I think the first one was Coal Tattoo, which is a Billy Ed Wheeler song. It's been around for a long time.
Goodbye to Buckeye, White Sycamore. I'm leaving you behind. Oh, I've been a coal miner all my life, laying down track in the hole. Got a back like ironwood, bent by the wind. Blood veins as blue as the coal. Blood veins as blue as the coal.
Dark as a Dungeon was on the list. And then I just started researching and found some old songs from the 60s and the 50s and then some modern songs and just tried to kind of find a nice mix. My goal was to be able to tell this story and to maybe open up a window into it that people who have not heard these songs before hopefully they might find some accessibility there.
What about the story of Lawrence Jones?
Oh, well, there was a strike in the early 70s in Harlan County, and it was horrible. You know, it wound up going on for 13 months, and these people were fired on with machine guns. They were called out of their houses and killed. The whole thing kind of came to a head when one of the, they call them gun thugs, one of the people sort of hired by the company to intimidate the strikers shot a young miner in the face with a shotgun. And he went into the hospital and eventually died after a few days. He had a 16-year-old wife and a newborn baby at the time. And it was sort of the last straw. The miners had been fighting for a long time, and that was sort of the last straw that got the contract agreed to between the UMW and the company. And this tribute to him, which was written by Cy Kahn, is just the most beautiful, reverent, empowering song about people with not a lot of options just refusing to back down in the face of what they know to be right.
Would you play it for us now?
I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, the night is thick as silence. You can't cut it with a knife. A man lies in the hospital, draining out his life. The trucks are on the back road, and the dark headlights shine. And there's one man dead on that Harlan County line. Oh, anger like poison is eating at your soul. Your thoughts are loud as gunfire, your face as hard as coal. Bitterness like buckshot explodes inside your mind. And there's one man dead on that Harlan County line. Oh, a miner's life is fragile. It can shatter just like ice. But those who bear the struggle have always paid the price. There's blood upon the contract like vinegar in wine. And there's one man dead on that Harlan County line. From the river bridge at High Splint to the Brookside Railroad track, you can feel the long strength building that can never be turned back. The dead go forward with us, not one is left behind. Is this one man dead on that Harlan County line? Well, the night is cold as iron, you can feel it in your bones. It settles like a shroud upon the grave of Lawrence Jones. The graveyard shift is walking from the bathhouse into the mine. And there's one man dead on that Harlan County line. One dead on that Harlan County line. One miner dead on that Harlan County line.
Thank you so much. Now, you've chosen for your coal project a number of songs that, well, they just clearly admire people who mine coal, who give their lives and their fortunes to coal, and endure all those hardships that come along with it. But if the United States were to take concerted action on climate change, wouldn't that be kind of hard on the coal mining regions of the country like West Virginia?
Well, I think that that's part of what we have to talk about. We have to try to get into a solution so that we can make some kind of sensible transition to cleaner power. I think there are going to be many facets to the solution. there are people doing research right now on how to burn coal cleaner. So it may not be that we have to eliminate coal. But, you know, if our appetite for energy is so big right now that we will blow up mountaintops to the point where we have strip mines in West Virginia as big as half the area of Manhattan. You know, these things, it's not just the beauty of the mountains that's lost. The Appalachian Forest is the most diverse forest in North America. So we're losing habitat, we're losing species. The sludge ponds are contaminating the water. And then when they blast off the mountaintops and push all of that dirt that is not coal into the valleys, it contaminates the water for the people who live in the area. People in West Virginia are screaming about this. And people who mine this coal are screaming about this. It is a complex problem. But if we can't discuss it because we are so married to the way things are, then we can't find our way to a solution, and we must.
One of the best-kept secrets about West Virginia is its wild places, its rivers and backcountry, and the ecology there, which you point out is perhaps one of the most diverse forests we have in North America.
Yes.
You have a song about a bird that you're lucky to see down there.
Yeah, this is, this is just a wonderful song, and it so much speaks to the kind of risk that these miners take every day, so we'll have electricity. You know, that how much danger these guys work in all the time. And it's just an eloquent piece written by Billy Ed Wheeler.
Oh, can't you see that pretty little bird? Singing with all his heart and soul. He's got a blood red spot on his wing, and all the rest of him's black as coal. Red and black are the ones I dread. For when a man spills blood on the coal, they carry him down from the coal mines dead.
Boy, you dig deep into that tune.
Oh, man, that tune is so amazing. Whoa. Just an amazing piece of writing.
As you've reflected on doing this coal project, on the one hand, you see coal giving people jobs, fueling the country. On the other hand, of course, it's taken quite a toll on people and your home state of West Virginia. So tell me, is coal a gift or a curse for West Virginia?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, and it's reflected in so many of these songs as well. There is a love-hate relationship all the way across the board, almost from any angle you slice it. And as I've made this project, I have a piece of coal sitting on my desk. I just keep kind of looking at it. It's bituminous coal. It's all shiny. And, you know, I just thought it's really good to just be able to reach out and touch it every once in a while. And I know what it smells like when it burns, you know. I know how hot it burns. I know what it's like to go to the railroad track and gather it up. And I feel like this is part of my history, and I have kind of a unique position, you know, kind of one foot in the modern world and one foot in an older kind of history. And it's very scary to bring that up in the face of global warming, but we have to be able to talk about these things. We have to.
Kathy Mattea's next album is called Coal. Thank you so much for taking this time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Next time on Living on Earth, more than a billion people live off the electricity grid. Many can only get light using expensive and dirty kerosene. Now an American businessman is delivering a simple solution: long-lasting solar-powered flashlights.
What I wanted to do was to give the Africans something that empowers them. And it's an amazing thing. It helps out with education. It helps out with the environment, security in refugee camps. So it really impacts people's lives in an amazing way.
Solar flashlights for the developing world. Next time on Living on Earth. We're online whenever you are. The address is loe.org, where you can hear the program or download a podcast anytime. That's loe.org. And you can reach us at comments@loe.org. Once again, comments@loe.org. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144. And our listener line is 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988. Is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Eileen Balinski, Bruce Gellerman, Ian Gray, Ingrid Lobet, Jennifer Percy, Emily Taylor, Peter Thompson, and Jeff Young, with help this week from Bobby Bascom, Kelly Cronin, and Jeff Turton. Our interns are Paige Doty and Megan Vigen. Dennis Foley is our technical director. Allison Lierish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us at loe.org. I'm Steve Curwood, and from all of us here at Living on Earth, thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt, smoothies, and milk. 10% of profits are donated to efforts that help protect and restore the Earth. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Educational Foundation of America, and the Saunders Hotel Group of Boston's Lenox and Copley Square Hotels, serving you and the environment while helping preserve the past and protect the future. 800-225-7676.
PRI, Public Radio International.